96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Many people consider starting or expanding families through adoption, and while it remains as popular as ever, it can be a complex and at times a confusing process. Well, tonight we observe Adoption Awareness Month and National Adoption Day, and we'll tell you what you need to know about adoption. My guests are C.T. Wilson. He's a Maryland State Delegate from Charles County and a former foster care youth. Wendy Cherry is an adoption advocate and co-founder of Selected Not Expected. And D.C. Superior Court Magistrate Judge Tara Fentress. Lines are open if you have a comment, if you have a question about adoption. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Certainly you can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Thank you all for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Let me first ask the judge. If I want to adopt a child, where do I look to find a child?
You can look at DC Child and Family Services Agency, and they have a phone number that you can call, which is 202-671-LOVE, L-O-V-E. Also, you can contact the website at DC Superior Court, which is www.dccourts.gov/about/media, and click on Adoption Day.
But let me help you a little bit, because not everybody is in the District of Columbia, okay?
And
certainly there are people that do not live in the DMV.
Yes.
That are still looking for children. Mm-hmm. And so are you suggesting, for example, that they go to the courts first?
No, I'm suggesting that they go through their local child and family services agency. And in Maryland, they have a different name, but in the District of Columbia, it's DC Child and Family Services Agency. And once you contact them, they get all of your background information. There are requirements for becoming an adoptive parent. Medical requirements, as well as other information, clearances. And once you go through that process, you become a licensed foster parent. And then you can consider whether or not you want to adopt a child. One way to get exposed to adoptions, particularly in the District of Columbia, is through Adoption Day, which is this Saturday at 10 a.m. at D.C. Superior Court. And this is an event that we have every year. This is our 31st annual Adoption Day. It's held on National Adoption Day, which is always the Saturday before Thanksgiving, because we like to see forever families come together and be thankful at this time of Thanksgiving. So if you're interested and you want to see families brought together, forever families, Adoption Day is an excellent opportunity to see what happens. We have all types of people who adopt. There's no need to be rich. You don't have to meet any particular standards in terms of religious background or financial status or orientation, any religion, any race. You don't have to be married. We have a gentleman this Saturday who's adopting. He's a single male. Also, we have all types of children for adoption. We have babies, older children, teens who are in foster care and need permanent, loving homes. We have a young lady, Kalasia. She's 16 years old, mm-hmm. looking for a forever family. And so we want to encourage people who just have a loving background, who know that they can provide a stable environment for a child, to consider adopting. We've had children adopted at 18, 19, 20 mm-hmm. years old. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, we're going to make sure that we have that information on our website. I do want to kind of talk about the process, because for the people who aren't able to come on Saturday, for the people who have been considering this, whether they just thought about it today or whether or not they've been considering it for a while, as I mentioned at the beginning, this can be a rather complex process. Delegate Wilson, you were on the other side. You were one of 17 children adopted?
That's correct.
Tell me your story briefly, please.
So
basically, I'm the oldest of 17 children. My mother was obviously kind of poor. All of my siblings ended up going into foster care, myself as well. And so from the ages of around 4 to the ages of 9, I bounced around from foster home to foster home. And like many of our children that we have today, desperately in looking for that forever family, as they call it. And so they're the basically most of the foster homes, there were foster homes. I guess there were people also testing to see if it was a good fit. And at some point, we found a good fit, and then I was adopted at that point.
How old were you when you were adopted?
I was 9 years old.
You were 9 years old.
And so, and I do know that I would like to go back to, you discussed this, Maryland. We have the dhr.maryland.gov/adoption that you can reach out to and contact your local Department of Social Services if you're interested in adopting. We have a foster care adoptive parent information meetings that are held by those local departments, as well as pre-service training and a home study, because it's very important for the safety of these children that, you know, there's a proper relationship between the Department of Social Services and these potential adoptive foster care parents. Mm-hmm. But while it seems like it's overwhelming, it's just getting started, because once you get there, you're going to be surrounded by other individuals who are also walking through this process. And I think doing anything alone is difficult, but you're not going to be alone. Our state is very interested in finding qualified parents. I do believe that we do have a rigid standard, and we will continue to, because the safety of these children is very important. But on the other side of the coin, I will say that last year, 400 youth aged out of the foster care system in Maryland without ever getting adopted. And that means that you have these children exiting our system without any legal ties or family ties. Mm-hmm. And that means that these are going to be our young children. They're now young adults with no way to really relate to our world. So it's very important, if you're interested, that you reach out in Maryland, again, D.C., the surrounding area. Go to your local Department of Social Services and please get started.
Wendy, you are also adopted, and you are the founder of, as I said in the beginning, Selected Not Expected. What is Selected Not Expected?
Selected Not Expected is my blog. I started off just blogging about my life and my experience. And as I was encountering other people who have been adopted and hearing other stories, I started to realize that my story is an amazing story. And it was seeming to be unlike the other stories that I'd seen. I was adopted from a very loving family, particularly a mom. Shout out to my mom, Gwen Cherry. And so she really just took care of us. She wanted babies. Mm-hmm. And she was unable to have her own, she and my dad. So she pretty much, they went through the process together, and she adopted two. And I was adopted at birth. I think they were waiting for me. So the Selected Not Expected comes in because that was my birth announcement. So the day I was brought home, I went straight to my baby shower. Mm-hmm. And the message or the card that was sent out was, she was selected, not expected. Mm-hmm. So I always knew that I was loved and that I was wanted. And I knew that my whole life, even though growing up, my friends in school did not know what adoption was. They kept saying that we were foster children. Mm-hmm. And they tried to mistreat us, but my mom always let us know that we were loved and we were wanted. So that's how I grew up. I kind of grew up feeling like I was special. So as I, you know, the last 40 plus years going through life, I started to realize that not everybody has my story. Mm-hmm. So that's why I created the blog, to bring awareness around it. I wanted people to know that, you know, black and brown babies are looking for families, and there are great stories out there, and to consider it. To consider that. Don't go overseas to find a baby. We have babies right here.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about adoption tonight. If you're interested in adoption, if you're thinking about it, if you have questions about adoption, please give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. And to a point that you alluded to, Wendy, being a foster child, there's nothing wrong with being a foster child.
Absolutely.
You know, there's no, you know, stigma attached. You know, there are circumstances under which, you know, our children are in the foster care system, and they need to be taken care of. And I think that that's one of the things that that people need to be aware of. Again, that there's, you know, you're a foster child, you're a child. Right. And you know, that's all I'm going to say about that. Go right ahead.
Well, I'd also say that as a state delegate in Maryland, because I was a former foster kid, I bring foster youth up in Maryland every day to testify. We've recently passed a law, it was my law, that actually allows our foster children to get free college up to the age of 25. Because we want to know that these are the wards of our state. That means they are our children for our state, in addition to setting up set-asides for children, for jobs, for on the local. And Sidney Harrison, who is supposed to be here tonight, who is a clerk of the court for Prince George's County, he sets aside a certain number of jobs for foster children, as well as summer internships. And that's what we're pushing right now. We have Foster Care Day in Annapolis coming up, as well as an ombudsman that we have brought out that answers only to the Secretary of DHR. So these foster children can reach directly out to this ombudsman with problems, because these are not our disposable youth. Mm-hmm. And nobody thinks about foster children, like you said, but it is not supposed to be a stigma. It is supposed to be something special. And until we can get that right, we want these children, especially the ones in Maryland, I want them to know that we're going to fight for you. And there are people up there like myself who are willing to do whatever it takes to get you that voice. Because I know one thing about being a foster kid, you didn't have a choice. You didn't have luggage. I would just come home and I would find my stuff packed in a bag, which means it was time to move on to another family. I know what it's like to not have luggage, to not have a family, to not have a voice or a decision. And I want these children to have that decision and know that they have a voice, not only in their future, but in the legislation that supports and helps them.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about adoption tonight. If you have any questions or comments, give us a call. Let's go to Joanne. Joanne calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Joanne. What's on your mind?
Hi. I adopted a child from D.C. Foster Care 9 years ago, and that was the best decision I've ever made. I was a foster parent prior to adopting him, but one of the things I've always believed that these kids need to have a happy moment in their life where they don't have a choice, that they're just able to just become children and just enjoy being children. So I definitely would support foster care to adoption. It is the best thing that you can do for a child. And not only did it help him, but it helped me as well.
Okay. Well, Joanne, thank you so much for sharing that with us. I appreciate that. Judge, you had a comment?
Yes. In response to Joanne's comment, what she's referring to is a child having a moment, a happy moment, is when children are in foster care, there are social workers that regularly visit them in the foster home. They come to the school to visit with them. There are attorneys who visit with the children in school. There are meetings that the children have to participate in. They have to come to court hearings. But once they're adopted, there are no more judges, no more attorneys, no more social workers, and they just have a mother and a father, or a mother or a father, and they are happy. And they are the average type of children who don't have other people coming to school to see them. And that's, I think, the joy of being adopted. There's so many children who just say, I can't wait until my case is closed. Mm-hmm. And adoption closes out a case that's in foster care.
When we come back, I want to drill down a little bit on the process. If you are considering this, what do you have to do? Wherever you are finding a child, whether it's foster care, whether it's a private agency, what do you need to do? Do I need to hire an attorney? Do I need to vacuum my floor? Do I need to talk to a social worker? What do I need to do? We're answering all of your questions about that tonight. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stay with us if you're on the phone. That includes Beverly and Waldorf. James calling from Howard University. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation about adoption in just a few seconds. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're observing Adoption Awareness Month, and we're telling you what you need to know about adoption. My guests are C.T. Wilson. He's a Maryland State Delegate from Charles County. He's also a former foster care youth. Wendy Cherry, adoption advocate and co-founder of Selected Not Expected. And D.C. Superior Court Magistrate Judge Tara Fentress. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Beverly calling from Waldorf. Thanks for calling, Beverly. What's on your mind?
Yes, this is a subject that I've thought about doing. I thought about becoming a foster parent.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also thought about just adopting. I have 3 grown children of my own, but it gets kind of lonely, and I don't talk to them a lot. I'd like to be closer, but I would like to take this on, and I would like to, if I were to adopt, I would want to start, you know, in infancy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from the very beginning.
So your question, Beverly, is what specifically?
Well, it's not really, I don't really have a question. This is something that my husband doesn't agree to, so I probably won't be doing it.
Hmm.
I guess my question then would be, I'd like to connect with people who have done it and what the outcome was like.
Okay. Delegate Wilson.
Beverly, again, especially a fellow Charles County citizen, I want to just say thank you for even looking out to doing that, because you are providing a light at the end of that tunnel. I will tell you, as the last speaker said, it is an amazing thing that you're doing for that child. I know this personally. So if you would like me to talk to your husband, please, you can find me on the website.
Are you sure you want to do that?
he knows they can find me. You know, if he lives in Charles County, I represent him, and I will have no problem just to try to enlighten him and see the good that he is doing and the God's gift that he is giving out. Because just giving these children, and I know you want an infant, I'll say that, but you know, sometimes getting a child, it's 2, 3, 5, 7, 9. They need that love too, and they're desperate. After sitting in foster care for 5 years, just waiting for somebody to tell me I was more valuable enough to take home, I will tell you, it was just desperate to have somebody love you. So at any age, these children are going to be desperate for some love, attention, and that stability that adoption can provide. So I would be more than happy. Yeah, I'm your state representative, your state delegate. I'd be more than happy to speak with your husband one-on-one and see if I can convince him to change his mind, because it's a great opportunity for you, for your family, and for this young child.
Okay. Well, Beverly, thank you so much for your phone call, and certainly good luck to you, because we do need more people like yourself that are considering the process. Judge, you wanted to comment also?
Yes, Beverly, currently in the District of Columbia, we have 189 children in foster care with a goal of adoption. So they're just waiting to be adopted. And even though these children are in Washington, D.C., many of our foster homes are in Maryland, all throughout Maryland, Prince George's County, Montgomery County, Howard County. And so we have agencies, Maryland agencies, who work with licensing Maryland residents to take D.C. children. We're always looking for more D.C. foster homes, but we also use Maryland. And so, again, there are 189 children just waiting to be adopted.
Okay. All right.
Well, Beverly, again, thank you so much, and good luck to you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. James, calling from Howard U. Thanks for calling, James. What's on your mind?
Yeah, how you doing?
Doing just fine.
Great. I'm a retired police officer here.
Okay.
Columbia. I'm at Howard now. I do mentor students here. I tried myself last year to get a foster care because of some tax issue. I was denied. As a police officer, over throughout the 90s, I've taken many kids off the street right into my home at my own expense, because I had a four-year-old daughter at home alone, so that was great for her, as well as us helping the community. I've done it for years. I'm at Howard right now. I mentor some students here, also a graduate of Howard. I was a campus pal here with many of the females to keep them on track. I would love to be able to adopt a kid.
So he said that you said because of a tax issue you were
denied by D.C. adoption.
Okay, so Judge, what should he do? Obviously, we don't want to go too much into the weeds of what that tax issue may be, but you know what should he and others do to prepare for this process?
How long ago was that tax issue?
James, how long ago was the tax issue?
Well, I'm also a veteran in the military. They said that I owed an amount of money, but eventually they did set it aside because of my military service.
Okay, I would just try again. I would call 202-671-LOVE, L-O-V-E. Let them know that you want to be reconsidered for foster care. And it doesn't take having an attorney. It just takes making that phone call. Once you call that number, there is someone who will take your information. They will provide you with information, gather more information about your background, your health, your home. As my colleague here said, they will have to go through a home study process to make sure the home is safe, make sure it's fire safe. There will have to be a fire inspection. There are CPR clearances and training that's needed. A whole host of things that are needed in order to become a licensed foster home. And once you're a licensed foster home, you can be a licensed adoptive parent.
Okay. James, thank you, and good luck. I appreciate your phone call. Before I go to the phone again, I want to drill down, as I said, a little bit more about that. If I'm considering adopting, whether I'm a single person, whether I'm a married person, before I make that phone call, what do I need to know? What kind of decision process do I need to make? Because, as Beverly suggested, she wants to adopt. Her husband says no. So already there's conflict in the house. I would think whether you're an advocate, whether you're a judge or a lawmaker, and that's why I kind of said, you know, tongue in cheek, are you sure you want to talk to her husband? You want to get in the middle of somebody else's marriage, which I would imagine you wouldn't want to do. But, all jokes aside, no one wants to be in a position to put a child in a household where there may be conflict.
Right. Well, speaking for my situation, so my mom, she probably was the driver of wanting to adopt us. And so my dad was gone by the time I was four.
Mm-hmm.
And so they went through the process together, and then she wound up, being a single parent to two adoptive children. So I can imagine that was difficult when you're thinking about the process that you have to go through. They went through the home studies. They went through the whole process. So, lots of other factors, but it could be difficult. So I think there's some real soul searching that needs to be done. And, I'll stay in my lane. The technical parts, I don't necessarily know, but I lived just my experience. So I feel like the soul searching is really what you need to do to want to take on somebody, what can be considered sometimes as somebody else's child, because and if they're babies, they're all sweet and everything. But once they get older, those of us who have biological children, we consider, things when we get upset with our children. So I have had situations where people I know who are adopted, their adoptive parents turned on them.
How so?
So, one of my friends was adopted, and by the time he was 8 years old, his parents did not really technically want him anymore because they thought they couldn't have kids. And then, boom, they were able to have three of their own. So then he became alienated.
Mm-hmm.
And so that caused a lot of problems. So I'm feeling like you should, anyone who's wanting to consider it, please just soul search and do a lot of due diligence. Talk to people, talk to children, talk to adoptive parents, go through get the counseling that you need through the adoption agencies and the foster care systems, because it might be a little bit bigger than what you thought. It might be more, than you can chew. And then you go through all that and you find out it's exactly what you want to do. And then you go through the process and then you provide an amazing experience for the child, because that's the role of the parent to do that.
Judge, how do you know when prospective parents are ready or aren't ready? When they come into your courtroom during this process, are you there at the end? Are you there at the beginning? Are you there during the entire process? Is there a time in which, or a situation when you may be talking to prospective parents and say, I'm not sure, do you have to have a come to Jesus conversation with them sometimes?
Yes, but I can't mention the word Jesus.
Okay, well, come to the judge
and talk about it. I often meet the foster parents. They come to the court hearings. We have court hearings throughout the life of the foster care case, which is usually a case based upon child abuse and neglect, where a child was removed from their biological parent. The biological parents have approximately 1 year to complete services, address their issues, and have their children returned to them. So initially, the goal in all of these cases is reunification. When that can't take place, we look for other alternatives. We look at family members. A lot of times family members, sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins, church members, people in the community are available to adopt. We prefer that because the children already have a relationship with these people. Outside of that, we look at foster parents. And as Wendy was saying, a lot of times, just lost my train of thought, but bottom line is we're looking for foster parents. And if you're afraid to commit to adopting, you can still foster children, see what it's like, develop a relationship with the child, and then make a decision. And that's what happens in all of our cases. So by the time I often see a foster parent who comes to court who's interested in adopting, they've had the child sometimes for a month, 6 months. And if we get to the point where we have a hearing and I have a foster parent on the stand and I'm not convinced that there is love, that there's affection, that there's a true relationship, a loving, caring, nurturing relationship between the child and the parent, I don't grant the adoption.
Is there, based on what you were just saying as it relates to reunification, is there a risk, even if you have a, you know, the perfect parents, you know, the mom that Wendy, you know, had, or, you know, the, or the parent that, you know, that, that, you know, that so many others have had, but it's been less than, in this example, a year. Is there a risk that that foster parent or, you know, that adoptive parent could have, could lose that child to reunification?
Here's the risk. In D.C., and I'm not sure what happens in Maryland, our preference is for relative adoptions, family members. So if a child has grown up in the foster care system or has been in a placement for a year or 2 years, and then all of a sudden a relative is identified, there is a possibility that the agency would favor placing the child with a relative. What we try to do to avoid that is in the very, very beginning of a neglect case, we look for relative placements, relative options, and we continue doing that throughout the life of the case. And to limit the possibility of a relative coming in late in the process, but we definitely see it happening, and we have a lot of competing adoption cases in the District of Columbia where we have a foster parent who's filed to adopt and a grandparent and an aunt.
That sounds really emotionally difficult.
It is very difficult.
Go ahead.
I just want to say one of the things, obviously, we're speaking about being ready for foster and for adoption. As the good judge said, first of all, be a foster parent. That's a very simple solution to just start out. You don't have to rush into it. This is something you can step in 1 foot at a time. And there's always a conflict in every household. So we all, but when you are a foster parent, there are things, I'm not going to lie, you need to be aware of. Because there is, if you're adopting a little black child and you are a white family, that's wonderful. Thank you. But that's a black baby. He's got to be raised as such because, believe me, I wasn't. And it was a very difficult transition when you get into adulthood.
Hold your point, because I want to hear more, but I've got to take a break. And I think that's a really critical point, and I don't want it to be lost in a rush. So when we come back, we're going to talk about that. Also, we're going to talk to Lori calling from Charles County. And Darlene, calling from Maryland, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about adoption on the Insights segment. This is The Daily Drum. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion about adoption. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Lori, thanks for hanging on. Calling from Charles County. What's on your mind, Lori?
Hi, this is Lori Washington. I am so glad that the judge had the sense to know if a parent is ready or not, or if the children is safe to even go into a house. I am a foster parent in, of Charles County, and I was a foster parent in Prince George County. What I was thinking is, maybe have they, y'all ever thought about a seminar where you can hold for, like, I'm a former correctional officer, got 20 years experience, and I find it the joy in it of just making a child smile. And I was just thinking, if you would have a seminar just for agencies, you know, different agencies, corrections, the police, D.C. Police Department, you know, like you said, across other counties, and just hold just for foster parenting, just to get their feet wet, to know what it's like to even to become a parent of a child mm-hmm. that's in need of love and all this. Because it's so many kids. I mean, if I can take all of them, I would. But right now, what I'm in the process of trying to do is, you know, they need something like respite. Respite is something like where the kid parents need a break in between foster caring. Mm-hmm. I wanted to try to see if, by any chance, is that delegate, is his name
Wilson, and DHR, the Department of Human Resources in the state of Maryland, they do have a rather comprehensive foster care program.
That's mm-hmm. that's correct. And Lori, again, it's always nice to hear people from Charles County calling, especially on this issue. I will say that if you're saying right now you're on respite from the foster caring, is that correct?
Well, yes, I'm actually going to start getting. I'm getting licensed in Charles County as we speak.
Okay.
I'm licensed in PG County, but okay. I also. You know, I'm glad that y'all are saying that the kids are able to cross the counties.
Yes.
You know, because when I was with PG County, we did get kids from Baltimore, you know, far as Baltimore, but D.C. and further places. But it was just so hard to get them to school. People got to be dedicated to what they're going to do once they take on these kids. You got to be making sure that all the process and everybody is on the same page in order for these kids not to feel like, oh, I'm going to get left out, or nobody's going to pick me up for school, you know. And I had, like, a child that would be great at home, but when she went to school, she didn't feel comfortable. She just went off.
Well, Lori, let me allow the delegate to finish responding to what you're saying, because basically what you're describing is parenting. It's just parenting. But go right ahead, Delegate Wilson.
I want to address briefly, you're talking about getting some of these agencies together. I'll say this, that when I got up to Annapolis, and again, I represent Charles County, nobody talked about foster care or adoption. So you're correct. We're trying to make this an issue. This is the first time we've had Adoption Day in Annapolis during session. We're trying to make it an issue to where we do have these agencies getting involved. And like you said, police, retired fire, retired, corrections officers, people that have time on their hand. And one thing that you guys have, which I think is amazing, is that structured life and discipline that so many of these little children need. So we are in the process of trying to make this a bigger issue, because right now nobody thinks about foster care. Nobody thinks about adoption until you tell them.
Okay. Lori, thank you so much for your phone call. Let's go to Darlene. Darlene calling from Maryland. Darlene, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. What's on my mind is that my spouse and myself decided we were wanting to adopt,
mm-hmm.
you know, had a nice home, everything. And we ended up with three girls. We had a wonderful time, great, nice daycare, nice food. Everything went great. And a few years ago, my husband passed away, so that left me. But we had the girls since they were like 4 or 5 years old. Now one is 20 and one is 19. Wonderful. We're still living together, you know. But my thing is, both of them are trying to get into school. My husband passed away. They lost their support, financial support, because of their age. My thing is, why I can't get help with, at this point, continuing their education.
Go ahead.
If I might ask, ma'am, were they adopted or are they still foster children? Were they foster
children? No, they were adopted.
They were adopted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now they're in like, how old were they when they were adopted?
About 7, 8.
Okay, see, there's the issue that we do have in Maryland. If any sibling in a family turns 13 before they're adopted, after that, everybody in that family, including that child, will receive free college. The problem is, once you adopt a child, it's not a problem. It's kind of just it's your child. And that's so it becomes like my three daughters, getting my three daughters free college. It's just not going to happen because that is your child. And I applaud you for what you did. And I don't, at this point, we don't have anything set up for getting children through college for adoptive children. Mm-hmm. We're still focusing on the foster children.
Judge, you wanted to make a comment.
Yes. In D.C., first of all, the adoptive parents receive a subsidy agreement, and they are receiving that subsidy until the child turns 21 years old. Also, if the child was in foster care at the time they turned 16 years old, they are automatically eligible for all of the college funding and scholarships and services that are available until they turn 23 years old. And so even though they would ordinarily age out of the foster care system at 21, many of these services and funds are available until 23. We have many children who are even in the foster care system who are currently away in college, and everything is paid for. So we do try to make sure we assist children, foster parents, long after the adoption is completed.
Mm-hmm. Well, Darlene, thank you so much for giving us a call, and certainly good luck to you.
Hold on, one more question.
Go ahead, quickly, please.
Is there a place that I can go to help me to have them fit it? You're saying that they are my daughters. I understand that. But I was talking about, is there a place that I can go to get support for their education at this point? Or is still considered my daughters? That's what I need.
And just to put it plain, they're considered your daughters. And that sounds like a pejorative and a negative, but it is a positive, man. And you know, I'll just say this briefly. College loans aren't so bad. I'm still paying mine. And sometimes that's what you have to do. I've been paying college loans. I'll be paying long after I pay my children's tuition off. So please, at some point, please don't worry about that. It's good debt. I know people talk about it, but it is actually debt that works for you. So if they have to take loans to get through college, most everybody at this table probably had to. So I know you're trying to do your best as a mother, but they might have to do that.
Okay. Darlene, again, thank you so much for your phone call. I did want to ask Delegate Wilson one thing, but before I even do that, you know, something else occurred to me, and this is also, you know, a rather delicate. Not delicate, but delicate issue. You were adopted very young, Wendy. Did it ever cross your mind to find out where you came from?
Well, absolutely. I feel like most adoptive children, people have a certain, it's like the nature versus the nurture,
mm-hmm.
and they feel that need to know why their eyes look the way they do, why their hands look, their skin color, you know, and I did that. I didn't look like, you know, anybody in my family, and I grew up in a small town with families that had lots of kids that all looked alike, so I always would want to know. So I did, and when I turned 18 in New Jersey, I got the non-identifying information. And I actually did connect with my biological parents. And since then, I have reconnected with all of my siblings. And just in August, I was found from the 23andMe test. It's a genetic test.
Okay.
And it mm-hmm. and it came up that I have a set of twins that are just 1.5 years younger than me who were also put up for adoption, and we have now reconnected.
Wow.
So I've reconnected with all of my siblings and my biological parents. And, you know, we're working on learning how to just be, you mm-hmm. know, be a family. We didn't grow up together. I didn't start, you know, having a relationship with them till my mid-40s.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really exciting. Now I get to look over and just see somebody that looks like me, that might have the same humor as me, the same eyes as me. And so it's been really exciting and fun.
You've come full circle, it seems, in
I
one
have.
Sense. Real quick, Delegate, I wanted you to finish your point. I've got about 2 minutes. There were things you said that adoptive parents need to be aware of before they go into the process.
And this is something I was saying, I don't want this to scare folks away, and this is why foster care is so good, especially before you become an adoptive parent. But make sure that you understand a lot of these kids are coming from difficult homes and tragic situations like I grew up in. And depending on the age of that child and what they've gone through, when you bring that child in, make sure that your family is ready, that your children aren't so young that they can be negatively influenced by an individual who has yet to see a good family and see a good example. Make sure that you understand that if you are adopting a child of a different race, don't raise that child as if that doesn't matter, because this world is not perfect. And I've seen this break many children, because it does matter. It matters tremendously what that race of that child is, unfortunately, and raise that child. Like, for instance, I was adopted by white people, so I never knew what hair grease was until I got well into the Army.
Okay.
And believe me, it sounds silly, but boy, some dry hair walking around is not a good thing.
Yeah, so, I can imagine.
But
yeah.
Making sure that they can relate and they're proud of who they are, because I tried so long to be a white person, and one thing that never happened, I was never able to be a white person. Mm-hmm. And instead of being proud of who I am now, I was worried about who I wasn't. And I think these things are very important, because I'm not saying cross-race adoption is wonderful. A child is a child. Parents are parents. But recognize these things are important. Recognize when you raise that child that they want to be normal, they want to be regular, and they want that love.
I think that's a good way to end this conversation. And I must say, you turned out okay. You too, Wendy. So, again, you know, thank you all. I also want to remind you that on WHUR.com this evening, the information that Judge Fentress was talking about, we're going to post that information about National Adoption Day on Saturday with links and phone numbers and contact information so those who want to participate can do so. So Delegate C.T. Wilson, Wendy Cherry, and D.C. Superior Court Magistrate Judge Tara Fentress, thank you all for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, November 14th. I'm Harold Fisher. Certainly you can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.